First, let's talk a little bit about the hope that we have. You know, our theme for this entire year has been the hope that we have that's an anchor for our soul. And we've talked about that in a lot of different ways. We've talked about it from different perspectives. But today I want to talk about it in terms of our anchor that is firmly fixed in Jesus. And we're going to talk about that using an illustration of circumcision. Now, I understand that sounds like it's a big leap to get from an anchor to circumcision, but bear with me. We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about circumcision this morning, and we'll continue that discussion next week. But I want to think about circumcision in terms of kingdom membership. You know, we've just recently been through an election in our country, and it's important that we value the fact that as citizens of our country, we have some abilities that belong only to citizens of this country. It's kind of like the Apostle Paul. Remember when he was shipwrecked and the sailors wanted to put him to death? And Paul said, "Wait a minute, I'm a Roman citizen." And immediately the Roman army, the soldiers that were accompanying him, stood up and said, "This man is a Roman citizen. We will protect him to the death. That's our job." And the leader of the soldiers said, "Well, I'm a Roman citizen too. I have to buy my citizenship." Paul said, "I was born a citizen." Think about that in terms of circumcision. Kingdom citizenship and flesh circumcision were bound up together when God made a promise to Abraham. That's a promise that begins to be seen in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. And we've talked about the threefold nature of the promise. I'll make you a great nation. Your family is going to be a blessing to everyone around you. In your seed, all the nations of the earth can be blessed, and I'll give you a country. It's a covenant or a promise that was confirmed a little bit later. Genesis, the 17th chapter. This is what Jehovah says to Abraham, beginning in verse 10. And it's important how he talks about circumcision and he talks about kingdom. He said, "This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant that you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you." See, circumcision held an important place in the relationship that these people had with Jehovah. It was a sign of that relationship. Okay, now, let me take you back. God has been using signs as a habit. When he makes a promise, he generally speaking gives a sign that can remind us of the promise. The first one of those sign promises was the fact that he wasn't going to destroy the world with a flood like he did one time before. In Genesis, the 9th chapter, at verse 11, God said, I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you. He's talking specifically to Noah, but this is a sign that he's giving to the whole world. A covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When you see a rainbow, it reminds you that God is never going to destroy the world with floods again. We will have floods. But he's never going to wipe out the world like he did in the days of Noah, so that every living creature was destroyed. Signs are important, aren't they? I wear a wedding ring on my left hand. And this ring reminds me of a covenant that I made with Kim. She wears the ring too. And when I travel, I always wear my ring. I'm not sure I can get it off anymore. The refrigerator seems to have made me gain weight. But that ring, that's an important thing, isn't it? Now, I know that some people have jobs that mean that they can't wear wedding rings. I worked in a machine shop for just a little while, and you can't wear a wedding ring when you work in a machine shop. You can't wear a wedding ring when you work around big machinery if you're in the Navy. They can't even wear a belt because it's dangerous for them. But this wedding ring is a sign. It's a sign to me, and it's a sign to Kim, and it's a sign to everyone else. I don't have to be there. That ring says, Kim belongs to me, I belong to her, and everybody else has to keep their distance. Signs are important. They're reminders of promises that have been made and promises that must be kept. God gave Abraham a promise about what he would do. And that promise involved necessarily some things that Abraham would do in response. Circumcision is really important. But it's sometimes a metaphor. Circumcision. Sometimes it's a metaphor. We think of circumcision as cutting off the foreskin of every male at 8 days old. And yes, that's what it was. But it went far deeper than that. Circumcision also impacted the heart. Now, nobody cut my insides and lopped off a part of my heart when I was circumcised in heart. But listen to what God expected of the Israelites in terms of circumcision. You know, we sometimes say circumcision was just circumcision in the flesh. And that wasn't God's intention ever. God always wanted circumcision of the heart. Now, circumcision of the flesh, that was a metaphor, it was a sign, but God wanted circumcision of the heart. This is Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Does that sound like what God expects of us today? Absolutely. There's no real difference. God expects us to serve Him with all our heart. And then in return, He gives us some commandments and decrees that are for our good. Promises made both by God and by us, and promises kept. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, and earth, and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection. That's important. The Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, Moses said as he addresses Israel before he dies. He has chosen you, their descendants, above all nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore. Do not be stiff-necked any longer. Circumcision is a sign of the covenant that God made with Israel, making them a great nation. And it extended to their heart. Flesh circumcision was given to Israel to mark, remind everyone that they belong to God. That's absolutely true. Flesh circumcision was a metaphor. And if you think about it, flesh circumcision, they didn't include circumcising the heart, was a lie. It was an affront. It was worthy of punishment. You declare that you are an American citizen when you vote. If you don't have that right, and you lie about it, then there's punishment. Just the same with God. If you say that you are in God's kingdom and you don't keep the promises that you made that are part of being in the kingdom, that's a lie. It's an affront to God. Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, Jeremiah said to the children of Israel, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh." He didn't say punish those that were circumcised. He said, "I'll punish those that are circumcised only in the flesh, that have rejected circumcision of the heart." Okay, now if all that's true, and I believe that it is, if all that's true, let me ask you a question. Is it surprising to you that the Jews in the first century fought so hard to protect their citizenship, fought so hard to protect their wedding ring? It's not to me. And we'll talk about how the Jews perceived circumcision and whether it was really right or wrong next week. We'll talk about how that's what made them a kingdom. So if you can join us next week, we'll continue this discussion. I had originally put this all together. I was going to talk about all of it this morning, but we'd be here until 1 o'clock. And I am firmly convinced if you can't explain it in 20 minutes, stop boring. So come back next week. We'll kind of conclude this. being a part of God's kingdom is such a blessing. We want you to enjoy that blessing as well. You can do that if you pledge your allegiance to the King. If you're willing to say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. If you are willing to forsake the things that characterized your life that are not in harmony with the way that he wanted you to live. And if you will put him on in baptism, he'll make you a new creature. You can become a Christian. That's a big thing. And if you're a member of the kingdom and you haven't lived the way that you should live, understand it. That's an affront to God. That's claiming circumcision without circumcision of the heart. You need to return to God. You need to ask for his forgiveness. He's promised that he would forgive. And we want to help you if we can. James says the effectual, firm, forever righteous man availeth much. And so for that reason, we confess our faults one to another. We pray for one another that we might be healed. But if you can, if there's something we can do to help you in some way, then let us know. We're going to stand in just a minute. We're going to sing a song together. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Our God is a great God. And we are honored that we get to serve him. Let's think about it and stand with Ted as he leads us in this song.